You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
During the break, we learned that Sabrina, that thing we showed, was at Coachella. I gotta say, the stage production looked pretty cool. But I would rather pull out my own eyes. So that's enough of celebrities telling mundane stories. I want to get serious for a second here and get into Trump. By the way, Sabrina apologized because that's our culture, or I think it was our culture. I think we are getting less apologetic around now, like the past 2 years. So that's kind of old news for her to apologize about not liking Arab things. But I thought this was interesting. There's a satirical school paper, which is an interesting thing because, you know, we had Harvard Lampoon brought us National Lampoon, brought us Animal House. It's a stalwart of American comedy. All the Simpsons writers were from Harvard Lampoon. I'm in Harvard Lampoon. And it's where funny people get their start. And you're also kind of at your funniest in your early 20s, right? You just moved out of your house and you're getting laid and you're interesting. It's a good time to be coming up with jokes, not so much at 55. But this paper is being eviscerated for their disgusting, horrific jokes. And of course, they're apologizing profusely. Sorry, Sean, yep. This is 1-6.
You want the video first?
Well, no, I want the tweet first. Okay. This is, what's his name, Greg Lukowitz, I think, FIRE, the group that fights for free speech, on Greg Lukianoff. I had dinner with him once. He cuts up all his food before eating it. That really bothered me. FIRE is deeply troubled by UNC's decision to condemn satire. I mean, if there's one thing that is protected in the First Amendment, it's satire. And announced an investigation into protected student expression. The Daily Tar Heel. It always has names like this. Like my university, Carleton University, it was called the Charlatan, the Trickster. And we still had to bend over backwards. Like, they canceled all the comics I did. I've told this story 100 times, but one of our professors, when I was the cartoonist for the Charlatan at Carleton University in Ottawa, Ontario, and his name was Marvin Glass. He's dead now. He was the head of the Canadian Communist Party, and he was our teacher, a professor of philosophy. And he burned down his office by accident. So I did a cartoon of him. He smoked a lot, with cigarettes everywhere, and he's playing with these Bolshevik action figures and not noticing that his desk is on fire. And they go, "No, you can't do that because it implicates him." I go, "We're called the Charlatan. It's not the Wall Street Journal." So they go, "No, just make it like cut him out of it." Okay, so I drew an ashtray with some Bolshevik soldiers. Now that it still implicates him too much. I quit after this, by the way. You know what my last drawing was? It was a cartoon of FIRE. Because you don't know what FIRE looks like. Allow me to draw it for you. So this problem, I think, I'm talking about 1990 right now. So this problem has been going on since then. And you know what's funny? I looked, they had all their archives there, and I was looking up the 70s, and it was over the top, racist, sexist, hilarious. The editor's photo was a penis with glasses on it, an actual penis, not even like blurred or anything. That was the editor's photo. How far we've fallen. After calls from takedowns from student groups and the student body president, the paper took the articles down and apologized. Hill After Hours, a separate registered student group, also posted and deleted a TikTok sketch satirizing a stereotypical white student walking through an area of campus where predominantly students of color have historically lived. Now, this is what I really hate about when they attack satire. You don't know where the satire was going. It's art. So this girl does a snobby bourgeois fake tour of the crappy part of the campus. That could be, you could argue that's mocking rich white people. Like, it's a pro-working-class joke. So what you do when you censor someone is you imbue this motive on them that they don't have a choice, that they didn't choose this motive. It's rape. You're raping this girl because you're saying this is what you meant by that, by your art. And what does it produce? A world like that is gray. You know, people would take Alex Jones's quotes out of context and say he said this. He shouldn't have talked so recklessly where it could be taken out of context. If you're speaking in a way where nothing can be taken out of context and sound bad, you're not speaking in a colorful way. You're speaking in a very drab gray way. And that sucks. That's no fun. It's un-American too. That's Soviet. That's China. Anyway, go down to the video. This is what they've apologized for.
Hey guys, welcome back to my channel. Today I'm going to be taking a step outside of Granville and exploring a third world country, South Campus. Now I know what you guys are thinking. Stacy, isn't that like super dangerous? The truth is, the people here are just like us, and I'm here to prove it. I just can't wait to bask in their culture and in their struggle. The truth
is funny.
We have nothing to be afraid of. But just in case, I brought some bodyguards.
They were...
You ready?
Skinheads, that would be funny.
Pepper spray?
Check.
Taser?
Check.
Vape?
Check. Let's do this.
They're mocking classism. I hate to wreck jokes while they're happening, but...
I'm surprised this place has roads and buildings. I always thought it was just desert.
Missing brick, 2 o'clock.
All right.
Don't touch anything.
So you get the idea, right? They can't do that. You may not make that joke. What was the other thing in the next picture next to it? So that's the video from the separate group. And then UNC brings back DEI for whites. Now, if that was a joke that glorified black people, they would not be apologizing. But you can't make jokes for that. And again, just like the video, you could argue that is mocking white people in that. It's actually kind of a politically, both of those jokes are kind of politically correct. But the authorities are so dim and tyrannical that they just see controversy, slightly interesting take, and race, and they stop there, call you a racist, and make you apologize. I will never apologize for creating the Western world. That's what the Proud Boys say at every meetup. I'm a Western chauvinist, and I refuse to apologize for creating the modern world. Speaking of refusing to apologize, allow me to make you all incredibly angry by promoting Trump. Can you play the interstitial, please?
Sure.
Okay, let's do this. I'll try to fill the dead air with nattering and try to keep you interested while we roll the thing that is coming up any second now.
Here, my name is Trump, and this is my show, JK. It's a segment, but that's all we need to know, frankly.
You know who does a really good Trump impression?
Who's that?
Everyone. Oh. Stop. It's hack. It's like Alex Jones. Doing an Alex Jones impression is hack. So I'm sure this has been covered to death today, and it'll be covered after me. I can't not talk about it. But Trump depicted himself as Jesus, 2-1. I think he's since taken it down, which is kind of an apology. He's not quite as bad. This is 2-1. Yeah. And the weirdest thing about it is, I think what happened is someone made fan art of him, and he just saw it as a holy figure, and he's like, cool, it's a drawing of me, my fans would probably like this, I'm gonna post it. And then his team, instead of them going, Donald, you're not just a saintly figure, you're the main guy, you're the son of God, I think that's a little blasphemous, instead of them doing that, they go, his staff sees those, I guess they're soldiers above him, and decide that's the controversial part. Everyone in the White House is incompetent. So they change them to demons because that's less controversial somehow. And there you have it. This is explained in the text above it. So the new version that the White House put out adds demons. Wait, yeah. Original photo was posted by Nick Adams. But someone in the Trump camp decided it would be wise to alter it to add a demon. Holy crap. So everyone's real mad about that. Even my wife was outraged. I'm not. I think it's funny. I don't know. Maybe it's my background is as a punk rock liberal kid. So, I mean, I am in the Knights of Columbus, and we did swear allegiance to the Pope, and we did promise never to criticize priests or the Pope. I said to my hardcore Catholic friends, what am I supposed to do when the Pope says, open the borders up? And he goes, we just say he's been misinformed. So I think this modern Pope is pretty misinformed. But here was Trump crapping on him. Pope Leo is weak on crime, terrible for foreign policy. He talks about fear of the Trump administration, doesn't mention the fear. He goes on, I mean, I won't read the whole thing. It's very famous now, but he says he was only chosen because he's American, and that his attacks on me will have more power as an American. They should have hired his brother. His brother would have made a way better pope. This Leo's weak on crime, weak on nuclear weapons, doesn't sit well with me. So, yeah, he hangs out with David Axelrod. I don't really see this as an attack on the Pope. He doesn't call the Pope a loser. Well, I guess he calls him weak. Tommy Robinson was much more... we'll get to Tommy Robinson in a second. No, let's do it in order.
Okay.
Tommy Robinson called him a pussy, but I want to use that as a segue to discuss my weekend with the man. I don't know. I think it's a good time to scare our enemies. I think Iran is at the center of a lot of terrorist funding. So is Qatar. Qatar, I guess you're supposed to pronounce it. And I hate them. And I see the death toll so far as the butcher's bill. There, I said it. Please calm down. Obviously, if it blows up and it becomes a quagmire, I'll be furious. But you feckless fair-weather friends, you've jumped off the Trump train the second the going got tiny bit rough. And now all you'll talk about is the imminent apocalypse. I guess if it bleeds, it leads. But it ain't bleeding yet. So why are you leading the charge away from Trump? I think so far everything's going great. Now you just can't leave. And he also is coming across as a nut, by the way, with this, like, what did he call them? He said, open the effing, I can't even say it on InfoWars, what he said to the world. Open the effing straight, you crazy bastards, on Easter Sunday. That was awesome.
And he said, praise Allah.
And praise Allah. And I think it's good to be seen as deranged in a time of war. No one's ever respected Trump in the rest of the world, whether it's the elites in Europe, the globalists, obviously, but the third world, you know, the United Nations types. So, okay, I'll just make you scared like I'm a psycho. You're going to run around with rubber boots and no pants on and a knife in your hand. And now when you're going to negotiate, it's kind of sketchy. Like you're scared of him. That's as good as respect. Fear and respect, they're about the same. We'd prefer respect. That's a lot cooler. But fear will do in a pinch. What's 2-3?
This tweet here.
This is a good little segment from GB News, Great Britain News. And he says things are going great.
Do you want the video?
Yeah, let's play the video because he really just quotes the video. It's about 2 minutes long. Okay. I don't like that collar.
The truth about this war that nobody wants to tell you. It isn't about toppling Iran's regime, before you ask. It's about reshaping the global world order. And I think that's happening right now. And I want to tell you how Britain is staring down the barrel of a dark age we haven't seen for over 1,000 years. This all comes, of course, as President Trump says, Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran if the key shipping lane in the Strait of Hormuz
That's last Tuesday,
is not reopened.
Right?
And of course, lots of expletives there we have blurred out for you. But this is bigger than a headline or a Truth Social post in this war. And the evidence is not actually being kept from us. We're just blind to seeing it because nobody's talking about it. America has made no secret of its new doctrine. It is stepping back from being the world's police and repositioning itself as a powerful, self-reliant fortress.
That is why President Trump has drawn a new strategic map from Greenland to the Gulf of America to the Panama Canal and its surrounding countries. At the Department of War, we call this strategic map the Greater North America.
Interesting stuff, isn't it? So what does America actually gain from this war before we get onto the Greater North America? Well, let's look at a map here, shall we? I'll bring this up for you. The Strait of Hormuz, you can see there, is one of the most critical energy choke points on this planet. It is also a whopping 45% of China's oil flowing through it. That is a lot of oil that China needs. It isn't just Iran.
Just pause for a sec. I read recently, I was talking to Tommy Robinson about this, because he's pro invading Iran too. Not full-on war, but what we're doing now. I don't even call it a war. But China has something like 100 days of oil. I don't know why. Can't they produce their own oil?
I was looking that up too, and it turns out that's kind of normal, but I guess since they're in such a choke point, that's a big deal.
Right. Well, our gas prices are high. I want Venezuela's oil. I want Iran's oil. And I want them to be crippled, and I don't want China. We're negotiating tariffs with China right now, so I'd like to see them sweat.
Cast your minds back to January this year, where Trump effectively has now captured Venezuela and declared its oil is under their control. And if you have a look at this graph, who there in the red relies heavily on that oil? Well, it looks like China to me. Now consider the impeccable timing of all of this. Since January, America is right in the middle of a tariff and trade negotiation with the very stubborn and very powerful, might I add, Chinese government, who are not budging on Donald Trump's arrangements here. Well, look who's got the upper hand all of a sudden. It's America. They are now controlling the vast swathes of oil that China needs. That puts them in a very strong position going forward on these tariff agreements. And Europe is also getting hit hard a lot with this. With Russian energy totally off the table and domestic energy security weakened by this leftist obsession with net zero, Europe is becoming increasingly dependent on external oil supply and energy supply. And that puts America, again, in a very strong position, because we will soon be wholly dependent on American supplies of oil and gas. They will dictate terms and use energy as leverage, not just economically, but geopolitically too. And what do we know that they really want? Greenland. They want Greenland. They've made that very clear, and they didn't get it yet. So the longer this war drags on, the more dependent...
We get it. We're sitting here watching someone else do my show.
Did you notice the spelling error in the bottom subtitle?
No. Okay, I can't really read that.
Repoing the Strait of Hormuz instead of Rio.
Ooh, jeez. Come on, guys. That's embarrassing. So it's kind of 4D chess. You know, I did a video this week. It went super viral. It's my most successful tweet. I think got 1 million views. But I said that, you know, there's nuance with Judaism. There's secular Karens who attack me and my family regularly. I live and hate them. And then I have my Orthodox Jewish friends who, you know, we fight the government together. And Ron Coleman, Ezra Levant, John Gross. So I started out with that, and then I said, this is totally different than any other of the wars. This is not Afghanistan. It's not a quagmire like Iraq. This is not somewhere we're going to be stuck for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if we're out of there in a week. I can feel the rage at the other end of the screen. I'm glad we're separated by by thousands of miles. If you punch the screen, you're only going to hurt your TV. Don't do it. Just send me scathing tweets and talk about how they must have something on me. Tucker is at the other end of the spectrum when it comes to discussing Trump's actions. He's not into 4D chess. He thinks Trump might be the Antichrist.
And you have to think through, like, could there be a spiritual component to what we're watching? Is it just a conventional escalation ladder in a badly thought out war with ill-defined goals, and we just wound up in this really tough place where we face either humiliation on the one side or a nuclear launch on the other? That's part of what it is, but could it be something bigger than that? Is it possible that what you're watching is a very stealthy yet incredibly effective attack on what, from a Christian perspective, is the true faith, belief in Jesus? Is that what really is under attack?
All right,
is
that so what you get? Maybe that's Tucker's idea. I think it's funny when people talk about hell and the Antichrist, because I live in New York City. Well, I work in New York City. And if you want to go to hell. If you want to see what hell is like, you should have been with me and Tommy walking around the city on Sunday trying to get to the Circle Line. We watched Luton Football Club play the cup final. That was 10 a.m. New York City time. But you just check in on New York once in a while if you want to see what hell is. Here's 2-5 is a good example.
Someone's
in Times Square.
Yeah, check this out. We got free all prisoners, murder all authority, love all immigrants.
Love it. Where are you from?
Where am I from? I'm from hell.
Hell.
The devil in the flesh, yo.
Okay. Well, I guess, how would you compare Times Square to hell?
how would I prepare shit?
Yeah.
I don't know. To live is to sin. Sinning is a good thing, you know? That's all it comes down to. If there's people in heaven,
Sorry about that language there, folks. Wow. So Trump criticized the Pope. He might be the Antichrist, according to many. And Tommy Robinson, my buddy Tommy, that we did a show with this weekend. I did a sit-down sort of Q&A, kind of like inside the actor's studio, and just asked him about his crazy life. I hope it went well. He's a real chatterbox, so you can ask him one question and not get to the next one for 40 minutes. But when someone's life is that interesting, I mean, is he's seen now the hip things to call him a Zionist shill and a Mossad agent. His Jewish interests are pretty much nothing. I mean, it's basically how we feel about the Amish. Like, oh, they're cool. Comes across your radar once in a while. But he's not really into, I mean, he's been to Israel. He's been all over the world. He's been to the UAE recently. But he called the Pope a pussy. God does not bless any conflict. Anyone who is a disciple of Christ, the Prince of Peace, is never on the side of those who once wielded the sword and today drop bombs. Military action will not create space for freedom in times of peace, which comes only from the patient promotion of coexistence and dialogue among peoples. Pussy! One funny thing I liked about the show, lecture podcast this weekend was I got into his soccer hooliganism. Luton Football Club, where he's from, it's north of London, maybe about 30, 40 minutes, and they're not a particularly successful football team. They get mad when you say soccer, but they're known as the most violent one, next to maybe Tottenham. And he was absolutely unapologetic about it. I talked about, you know, prospects and how you recruit people in the team, and when you go to fight, there's this whole sort of Roman phalanx where they flank their enemies on both sides. And he's like, yeah, it was awesome. I wish I could still do it today. I don't apologize for that. That seems to be a running theme today. He goes, it was really, really fun. And I realized it's a sport. Soccer hooliganism is a sport. It's mutual combat. There's no knives. There's no like hurting people's families. It's at a pre-arranged location. And they go there and beat the crap out of each other. There's even a mutual respect kind of thing. Like at one point he told me he was getting arrested at the airport and he could tell something was going to go down. So he saw someone from a rival football club and said, oh, if I get arrested, can you make sure my wife and kids go home okay? He's like, no problem, Tommy, no problem. Like the way a boxer would talk to another boxer. So that was a wake-up call. I think they care more about the violence than the game. When I was with Tommy at a Luton game, we spent more time down at the pub spending £3 per beer than going up into the stands and watching the game. They have sort of these labyrinth of tunnels underneath the game, and that's where you go and get your pints, whereas stadiums go up high. So, yeah, Tommy's having a big thing on May 16th. I don't know. I went to the one on September 13th. Of last year, there was about 3 million people there. And you know what was so cool about it? Charlie Kirk had just died that week. They play the national anthem. There's a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk. There was Charlie Kirk flags everywhere. And this is in London. That Friday night, the night before the rally, there was a huge vigil with hundreds of people. And he just died.
You got 5 seconds.
It was beautiful. So when we come back, we'll discuss May 16th. And
we have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, procardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bentley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.